going to go the Canberra Raiders -3.5. We'll take the $1.75. $1.75, that's skinny as well. Have a great day, mate.
You too, Jimmy, and good luck the Blues Wednesday night.
Absolutely. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time to join Sky Thoroughbred Central for our Sunday morning simulcast of Thoroughbred Weekly with all the latest racing news and reviews. Here's your host, Greg Radley.
Yesterday, one of Queensland's most famous races, and Bjorn Baker grabbed his first ever Group 1 win in his own right. Music Magnate took out an unbelievable 10,000, frantic pace early. That was all the talk after the race, and for the rest of the afternoon, Duff, after three jockeys went out very, very quick.
Yeah, look, it was a real race, wasn't it? The pattern was set early in the day, and the jockeys knew they had to be on the speed, but wow. They really put it on, and well, Bjorn, he's got his first Group 1. Good on him. His stable's in magnificent form, and I'll tell you who else is in form. That jockey McAvoy, I reckon he's in career best form.
No doubt about it. Well, we were about 25-26 yesterday. How was it at Randwick yesterday?
No, I think it got up to about 17.
Oh,
no,
it was nice. it looked cold.
It started raining well before the first, and it just teamed in all the way till about race 6 or 7. So it was gradually getting worse and worse. I think the track rating was one rating behind what it actually was, but that's understandable because the stewards can only rate it off the previous race, and then it'd get another 30 minutes. Minutes of rain, and it'd be worse by the next race, and they downgraded after that. So I think if you're looking at the track ratings for each race, they're one behind where they actually were. But look, a lot of people took winter horses to Randwick yesterday, thinking they're going to cop a dry track when they're actually looking for some wet tracks, you know, to race these horses during the winter, and ended up with one.
Well, let's get into the 10,000 first of all. Our feature Group 1 of the day in Brisbane, and this is the final meeting for the Doomben Carnival. We move to Eagle Farm next week for the Oaks and the grand reopening of the new track. Two Blues in front, Fell Swoop behind and about to edge off the rails and put Hook 3 deep, and this is where it got messy.
I think when Fell Swoop come off the rail, at the time Hook says I'm going to just slide up outside the lead, that's when it became game on here, and they just went out at warp speed, and although you had to be on the speed in close, this was a whole different situation altogether. Music Magnate just bided his time, he stalked, and he come with momentum out wide here. I thought Escadilla's Stradbroke chances were done no harm here. Her run was an absolute beauty. She's on a hard track. She had the bias against, and I thought she did enough to hold probably Stradbroke favouritism. Charlie Boy battles on. I thought Delectation was going to win when he was going to burst through the middle there, but he can do that. He has his moments, Delectation. But obviously excuses for a lot of those on-pace runners, considering the circumstances. But all honours with the winner. He's third up. He was presented beautifully. Bjorn's got the timing perfect to peak him for this carnival, and he's already got a Group 1 on the board, and who's to say that he won't run well in the Stradbroke as well.
Just for people who weren't watching that race meeting, by that time, which was race 7, that there'd been a well-established pattern that horses close to the fence and horses up on the pace appeared to have a big advantage. For Escadilla to come out in the middle of the track where nothing had really made much ground until that point and get home like that, I thought it was an excellent run, given that she was off the back of a bit of a break there as well, and you know she likes a soft track and she didn't get one. So that was great. I mean, Bjorn just had that horse in the right spot at the right time. I watched Fell Swoop. He looked to overrace there even on that
very
hot space.
Very clean, very fresh.
And you wonder whether he might be coming to the end of a preparation. Horses will do that, or is that just him? Did he just get fired up by the others? I don't know, but it cost him his chance, I think. I thought he would run better than that.
He said to Greg with an interview prior to the race, he said, because he had that really tough run in the lead-up, And he said, I've done nothing with him. Mm. I've just kept him mad fresh all week. Mm. And maybe that showed up there how fresh he really was.
Yeah. He was mad fresh. Mm. We'll get to those beaten jockeys in a moment. Let's go and hear from Bjorn and also Kerrin. Kerrin's had a big week taking out the Durman Cup last week on our Ivanhoe. But for Bjorn Baker, he loves Queensland.
As Bjorn said before the race, this is going to be a game of chess on horseback. But it unfolded completely different to how I thought it would. I thought I'd be closer in the lead. I actually got quite a bad check, sort of 100 metres after the start. The inside horses came out and I just lost a bit of momentum, but I was able to tuck back into a nice position. As I said, they went really quick and...
unbelievably quick.
Really fast. I haven't been in a race over 1400 or 1350 where they've gone that quick before, but he was able to just build into himself around the 400 and he was really strong late. Bjorn's done a top job with him, so well done to him and his team.
Yeah, no doubt that speed played into his hands.
Definitely helped. You know, we were able to get a drop on them. I was outside of Dothraki and we were both travelling well. But fair play to my horses. You know, Bjorn had said that he'd come on from Scone and, you know, he was a month between runs there. 2 weeks into this, just had him cherry ripe. So great for Bjorn. Big win here in Australia and pleasing for the connections and pleasing for the horse. He's a little, you know, he's building up a great record now and he's all he wants to do is gallop for you, so it's great to ride these horses.
Well, Ron was my only mate. He's the only one that picked it in the first four.
How are you feeling at the moment? It was a big career move for you to go out on your own and here you are with a Magic Millions winner and a 10,000 winner.
Yeah, it's super. I guess Queensland's been very kind to me and I've got a great team back at home, and it's a pity Andrea couldn't be up here. It would have been nice if she was here with the kids, but Sven was playing rugby today. He scored 3 tries, so he's got to stay at home. He's
got
his priorities right. So, no, fantastic result.
What about this?
He's had one or two issues. He's taken time, and I'll be honest, as a two-year-old, he didn't show me too much, but he's continued to improve, and I love the Ridden Tycoon, so anyone that's got a Ridden Tycoon out there, please get in touch, vegaracing.com.au. Plenty of spare boxes at the moment, always looking for more.
What about the Stradbroke?
Well, you might have to look at it. What's it worth?
1.5 this year. They dropped it $500,000, unfortunately. It was worth 2 last year.
Oh, when it gets to that level, it doesn't make any difference.
And it's been a plan, hasn't it? Queensland's been the target for this horse.
It has for a long time, and we decided to miss the most of the autumn, and we had one crack at the hallmark and that came off really well, and that was a phenomenal effort. Then he had a month between runs going to Scone, and I thought he was well set up to run a good effort today.
This must just top off the best season ever for you.
Yeah, it's been a great season, yeah, and I had a couple of good seasons with Murray. The only difference, of course, is I've got no money.
It's all yours today.
Correct.
Go and enjoy it, mate. Well done, Bjorn.
Yeah, look, big day for him.
He's a good young trainer. He's a beauty.
We're going to be talking about this market quite a bit because there's a few more races we have to show you that has a bearing on this. But as Cadelia, still the favourite. We'll get to Gassani in a moment. We won't talk about her at the moment. But on that page there, what stands out for you?
Oh, look, it's looking really, really healthy, this race. Mm. There's no doubt about it. Blackheart Bart, he's coming off. His form looks sensational. Counter-attack, handles all types of conditions. Big plus there. Malaguera, off a big win. Kept fresh, loves it.
Weights are out Monday.
Look at that list there.
He probably has to win next week.
Every runner on that page has finished first or second in a really good race at their previous start, so that tells you how competitive it is. And two more things to come out of that Durman 10,000. They absolutely walked home the last 600 metres. They ran 35.72. They ran 35.22 in the 2200 metre race straight after it. So,
well, what would you expect?
I know, it just highlights it. But another thing it also highlights is how good is Clearly Innocent, who lowered Music Magnate's colours, and pretty well.
Definitely.
I know Music Magnate was off a break, but he's lowered his colours at Scone. He's pretty fair.
It confirms his form for sure.
Yep.
They went out in 42.2. They tell me up there if they break 44, they're going quick. They've run 42.2 for the 750.
What were they thinking?
Well,
I know that was a leader's track, but what were they thinking at that
time? They tried to ride to the pattern, but there was too many of them trying to ride to the pattern.
That's the key.
Well, let's have a listen to the beaten jockeys, and then we'll come back and just talk a little bit more about it.
Zach Curtin, Fell Swoop. Zach.
just two fears today.
Paul King, two blue.
Oh, look, jump clear to the front and just got attacked from pretty much the outset. You know, the two that attacked me were just suicide, given no hope.
Blake Shin, Dothraki.
Good run, always tries hard, but the way the pace was at 13.50 today just probably was found out of touch.
Jim Byrne, hooked.
Oh, yeah, look, can't win races doing that.
So, that explains it all.
Exactly. Paul King, forget about Paul King. He's on the leader, and the duck
he's been told to lead.
The duck is a sitting shot, unfortunately. So, Purton gets, Fell Swoop gets fired up. Purton can't hold it. Yeah. It's very keen. And Jim Byrne said, when he came out and gave me a bump at fired, hooked up.
He was
now,
fresh too.
What did John Thompson say?
I think John Thompson may have fired up Jimmy Byrne there a little bit. He was a bit rattled coming in there.
Yeah.
John Thompson said, well, there was two Group 1 performances there, the race and the spray I just give my jockey. But anyway, that's
he'll shrug it off, Jimmy. Yeah. He's had a million
sprays. I can't imagine John Thompson giving anyone a bake.
No.
Well, he must have been fired up because he's the quietest, most relaxed guy. But Jimmy would have copped 1,000 bakes in his
course,
career. He'll shrug it
he's
off.
He's experienced.
All right. Okay, that is the 10,000. We'll leave Brisbane for the moment. We're going to finish the show with Brisbane. We'll come back and look at Sydney next.
Of the day. We knew we would make it to the track for the first race.
Somebody's got to book a cab,
and your mobile looked comfortable in the condition.
Oh, couldn't fault her. She's only a year old, but streaming on the app was flawless. Never missed a moment, not even in the tunnel.
Well, traffic's moving. Good luck.
Thanks, Bertie.
More live racing vision than any other betting app. Cab, more than just winning.
New Sick Hydro versus the Lube Strip. With a hydrating gel reservoir giving you 40% less friction. Designed like no other razor to protect from irritation. Sorry, Lube Strip. Sick Hydro.
Coming up on International Thoroughbred Roundup, we're in Japan for the Tokyo Yoshun with the Sasuke Show winner D Majesty looking to enter his classic hall. A Grade 1 doubleheader from Graver with a Will Abington at Daily News 2000 and a scintillating display in the Prix Pan at Chanty.
Going to turn our attention to Sydney now. Rich, pick up the first race. So the weather was quite unpleasant early and it got better as the day went on.
When they rated the track in the morning, they rated it a good three and it genuinely was a good three. But then during the mid-morning, it started to rain and by the time they got to the first race of the day, it was raining pretty solidly. The track hadn't deteriorated much by then, but through the course of the day, it just got worse.
All right, James Cummings and Glenn Schofield combined in the
Glenn had a fantastic day yesterday, riding a stack of winners there, and it just jumped straight to the front, this Skylight Glow. It was the favourite, and he just, you see him there, went straight to the front, got an easy lead, coasted along, handed up to one that came around the outside there, and just sat behind them. And, it was from then on, it was just a matter of was he good enough to win the race, because there wasn't a lot behind him that could beat him once he got an easy posse.
It was a farcically run race, really, for a 1,400. Looked more speed on paper, and Glenn's just judging, showing his experience lately with the way he's reading the play in these races. He's putting his horses where they should be as far as how the races are run, and this filly was well backed,
and she raced accordingly. She was well backed all week, and I think they're thinking of maybe even giving her a throw at the stumps in the JJ Atkins.
Barbas and Akatua, they were quite good.
Yeah.
They ran on. Look, there seemed to be a bit of a pattern that if you're inside the first like 8 metres out from the rail, that was the place to be. If they got any wider than that, they seemed not to make ground. There weren't a lot of horses making ground on the day. Once they got into good posies, they were hard to get past. I'm not saying it was biased, but they were hard to get past.
I thought that the other two favourites, Akatua and Flo, they had far too much to do there. They were back at the cap catches.
Yep.
And they missed the speed of that race,
yep,
where the winner was always in control. That leader has got a win in him somewhere, Coglieri. He bolted mid-race when the pace slowed.
Hasn't Cameron Crockett got a nice horse here in Barbas?
I thought he won in that restricted race the other day.
That's right.
That won't be form. But he shaped up really, really well. Showed good courage there.
You will see a few horses on the fence hang on when you would think they would cave in. I just think the fence is a little bit of a help to them.
Let's go to race number two. Oh, sorry, before we go to the second, let's hear from the winning trainer, James Cummings.
Yeah, look, she's done a really good job. She was possibly on tired legs late, but the first time she's really had to come out and be competitive on and what might be a bit of a rain-affected track. But, we'll sit back and reflect on the strength of the win and consider the JJ Atkins in a couple of weeks, a mild group one for the two-year-olds and a good opportunity possibly for her to achieve success at the highest level.
Yeah, so she obviously, you really think highly of this horse to be heading towards a group one.
She's got a great style about her. She's done well in the last 2.5 weeks since she showed a really gutsy win at Canterbury, burnt the candle at both ends, and she's a really tough, gory filly. She's really typical of the good sort of horse that comes off at their farm, and she was mixing it in light gallops pre-Christmas with Prize Icon, and there's just a little sense about this horse that maybe she could take the next step. But having said that, she's going to have to keep improving, look, a really good effort I still think to hold off a horse like Barbas, which Cameron Crockett's got in good form and kept coming out of slate. So good win from her, and look, we'll reflect and keep the JJ Atkins in our minds.
Okay, JJ's in the plans. Now, that's the first page. We'll talk more about this when we get to the size produce in Brisbane. She's on the second page there at $15.
I think that's probably...
That's about right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
they're waiting for one of these two-year-olds to step up and say, I'm here, I'm here, but it hasn't happened.
Well, they might do it.
It might happen next week in the Phoenix.
At least that filly has had a run on a big track with a bit of give in it, which was probably what Eagle Farm will be like.
No doubt about it.
She can run a strong mile, though. That wasn't a testing
400
yesterday.
Okay, let's go to the Tab Highway. Barb Joseph and Paul Jones were in Brisbane yesterday. They sent Wonderbolt to Sydney and got away with the highway.
Yes, the Wonderbolt here, he carried one of the top weights there, 59 kilos, and he just sat back there. You see him in those yellow colours. He's not looking to go too wide here. None of them were. There's not a lot of horses in the race. You don't have to, but he's looking to hold towards that patch that everyone seemed to think was okay. Now, he hasn't got much soft track form. He's performed okay on a few soft tracks, but he did have good city form. He'd run in city class races on Saturdays and run well. He used to be trained by Anthony Cummings. Now Barb and Paul have got him. And this was a good, tough win. He just toughed it out all the way here. I don't think the track was too bad because he hasn't got much soft track form. The horse he beat on the inside there, Star Shaft, he'd had no soft track form at all. So I think the track was still okay at this stage, but was getting worse. Yeah. But they're two good tough efforts.
That track looks okay to me there. That's not wet yet. That Scone form again. They both run in the same race at Scone, and he just doesn't help himself, that Star Shaft. He's too aggressive in his races. He doesn't relaxed, and he's been a great little buy for Barb and the team, Paul, and that horse. They've got their money back and they're having some fun.
Yeah,
with
I agree. And I just think the little 2 kilo claim for Kobe Jennings there was just enough to get him over the line.
He had a good day too, didn't he? He comes back and wins the last with Bull Rush.
Yeah.
So a good day for Kobe. Here's race number three, Themis, D9L. Leading for Tony Gollan.
Yeah, D9L just set a nice pace here. Now, Themis coming back from a 2,000 metre run at Doomben in the Roses there, where she had a pretty tough run. Met a team of fillies here who I think were just average going into winter fillies. And, this is a nice piece of placement from Gay. back this filly up off that 2,000 metre run, coming back to the 1,400 metres here. Just got up outside the leaders, which was the right place to be on the top of the turn there, and the Themis was just too tough for them. So the horse, she looked really well in the yard. She looked like she really hadn't suffered anything from going to Queensland and having a tough run up there, and was just a little bit too good for these. I really can't find many excuses for anything that finished behind her.
Too good, Gay. Too good. It's not my cup of tea, backing a horse 2,000 to 1,400 within a week after a trip away, but she got away with it there, and she simply outclassed that lot. It was far too good.
Pioneering started favourite, I think, and she sort of had the drop on Themis, but Pioneering did exactly the same thing this week as she did last week. Just sort of looked like she'd run into the race as the winner and just plodded to the line.
Well, she's paying the price for consistency with these big weights. Mm. Problem with her.
Sideline to this race, Tony Gollan runs second and was beaten by Themis.
Mm.
He had a winner in the very next race in Brisbane with the colours worn by Themis.
Yeah.
So he's just looked at Themis's colours in Sydney and gone, oh my God, those rotten colours.
Put them on and win.
Put them on and he wins in Brisbane with Karmicide. Let's go to race number four. Here is Rodrigo. When we pick them up, that's Colonel Cluster in front.
Quite an interesting three-year-old race, this, because a few of these are starting to look whether they'll take these horses to Brisbane. And they're giving him a test over the 2,000 metres here. Now, Colonel Custer was in front.
Colonel Custer
was in front there. And he led them along at a nice pace. I don't think he dawdled in front, but he gave himself a chance. He wasn't, you know, overridden in front there, and he battled on very well. So he looks like he'll definitely run out the trip. Now there's Rodrigo getting up on the fence. He'd been sitting back in the pack there, and they shuffled up around him on the corner, and he was basically committed to go up the fence there. And the run came. It was a little bit tight there for a while, but he got through on the inside there in those yellow, black, and white colours. And I thought that was a pretty good effort from him. He'll definitely stay the trip as well. Glyn played for luck and got it. Spanish Stride out wide, you'll see it running into about fourth or fifth. Now, it always races back and is a bit of a victim of circumstance, and out where it was, there weren't a lot of horses making ground, so it might be one in a race soon that you can find, and I thought Colonel Custer battled on well. He'd only run second in a class two at Hawkesbury at his previous start, so it was a little bit of a, I suppose, stepping back to his own age group, but up in class, and he battled on well.
Going into the race, I thought it may be a little dark horse race for the Queensland Derby. I left a bit flat after watching the replay a few times, bunch finish. I thought Colonel Custer was the best run in the race. He did all the donkey work and fought back, but not for me, for a Derby point of view.
No.
Race number five, well, how bad could the track have been? That's a good idea, who wins race five.
Will not pick his feet up in it.
Well, how bad could it have been?
Well, even before the race, well, it was starting to deteriorate then. It was a bit of a surprise, because even Peter Snowden, before the race, said this track's probably deteriorated to the point where it's going to be tough for this horse, especially when he's got to carry 62 kilos. A good horse's weight over the 1,100, and he didn't have any soft form at all. There he is outside the leader there, and the right spot again. That's where you wanted to be. Ins and outs getting up along the fence there. I don't think the fence was any problem at all. You know, people were saying, oh, it might not be the best going, but I thought it was okay on the day. And Oxford Poet, well, he's as honest as the day is long, and he loves it soft. He battled on really well there, but all credit to the winner. When you carry 62 kilos, you haven't got much soft track form, you still win. It's a good effort.
Yeah, no, he's a tough nut. He's a tough nut to get past. He likes to run. He likes to fight them off. And so does that second horse as well, Oxford Poet. They're both pretty tough horses, ins and outs. I thought he was going to get them when he railed up. I'm just about had enough of him. I thought he'd win.
He hasn't got a bad record.
He's been around the mark all the way.
Yeah.
And I thought that was his race for his keeping yesterday, and he didn't finish it off. But like I said, they're two real tough nut horses, the first and second horses there. Other than that, I thought the Joe Pride's filly went, I'm's a Lady, went pretty good first up.
Yeah, it ran on. Okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back and look at more of Sydney after this.
Southern Hemisphere's number one breeding stock sale. Bounding, Perignon, Yosso, In Style, Alpha Mist, Montaton, Peggy Jean, Vintage, Maze.
Street, Pure Energy, Belmont Cat, Bring Me the May, Chinchilla Rose, Pasadena Girl, Atlantis Dream, Poor Mister, Precious Gem. The Magic Millions National Broodmare Sale on the Gold Coast.
Harvey Norman, 5 big days of big deals on now. Big deals from these big brands across all categories in laundry and kitchen appliances, air conditioning and floor care. Electrolux 5kg center dryer, now only $398. Electrolux Ultraflex green vacuum, just $298. Save up to 20% on AEG cooking appliances. Save up to 27% on the Electrolux Masterpiece Collection. This blender, now just $249. You save $95. More in store and online, but hurry. 5 big days of big deals ends Monday at Harvey Norman. Go!
One Gillette Fusion ProGlide blade gives Dave here up to a month of comfortable shaves, which is about this many, which is a lot. One blade, up to 1 month of comfortable shaves. Gillette.
Coming up on International Thoroughbred Roundup, we're in Japan for the Tokyo Yoshun with the Sasuke Show winner D Majesty looking to add to his classic haul. A Grade 1 doubleheader from Graver with a Will Abington at Daily News 2000 and a scintillating display in the Prix d'Espagne at Chanty.
Okay, we move to race number 6 at Royal Randwick, Richard L. Lou.
By this time, I think people had thought that the rain really had softened the track up by now. I think they were down to a soft 5 by now, and it was probably a little worse than that. L. Lou didn't have much form going in, pretty much midweek form. Got into this fillies and mares race. There were two groups of fillies and mares here. Two or three of them that are on the rise, and a whole heap of them that are just looking for a weak race to find a win in. And I had L. Lou in that category. There she is back in those purple and white colours. She'll come to the outside here and, just close enough to the fence to be in the right part of the track at that stage. And got her home over the top of them in what I think was a pretty average fillies and mares race here. A couple of others here. Motor in the green colours there, it finished off pretty well. And it's one of those ones on the rise that you might be able to follow into another race. Minnesota there finished off well. San Gervasi, who was one of those younger ones on the rise, raced a bit wide, got to the outside and kind of didn't run on as expected. So maybe that was just a bit of a finding the class a little bit of
a test. Lou's always had talent but never wins often, but obviously she...
3 from 16 she is now.
Yeah, that's it. That says it all. And she went much better than what she trialled. I didn't think she trialled any good coming in here. So one of the favourites there, San Giovese, she's pulled up with some bad breathing issues, yeah. So that's the excuse for her.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear from Glenn Schofield, who did have a good day. He rode El Lou.
Look, she just wanted a bit of give in the track. I rode her last start at Warwick Farm, and it was a really dry, hard surface, and she didn't cope with that at all, and she ended up getting interfered with as well. So a little spell, a little bit of a freshen, back on a wet track, good return.
Let's go to the Mackell Cup. Roar Impulse was all the rage here, and it was Gay Waterhouse and Adam Hieronymus with Ecuador, who spoiled the favourites' party.
I have to say, Adam rode this horse. It was a beautiful ride. He was positive straight out of the gates. He said, "I will lead," and everybody just let him lead. Then he slowed them down past the 2,000-metre mark and all the way up the back straight, gave this horse a beautiful rest. And, you know, a horse of this quality who can stay on his home track, you give him a rest like that, he's going to kick and find plenty, and he did. And when he straightened up here, some of these other horses have been under riding for quite a while trying to catch him, and they were going nowhere. The horses that got out wide were starting to run on a bit more here, but it's a long race, so it doesn't always fit the pattern. But he was the dominant horse here. He carried his 59 kilos, made all. You can't find excuses for things behind him. Now, the horse that ran fourth here, Roar Impulse, that's the horse of Darren Weir's. Now, fun fact that Darren Weir had never trained a winner in Sydney, and I didn't know that, and he's still looking for it now. But it travelled back in the field and pushed a couple out of the way to come to the outside, and I thought, oh, you'll run on strongly here. He ran on to about the 150 metre mark and then plodded the last bit. Not sure whether it was just climbing, perhaps climbing a little bit in class, and he found these horses a bit better than him. We overrated him a bit. There might be excuses for him, but he was a little disappointing given the rap that was on him and the price that he started. Other horses in the race, Havana Cooler, his racing pattern just makes him a victim. Hawksford,
He's run another decent race. I think he's a winter stayer now at that level.
A bit hard to place because he gets weight. But look, it was a perfectly rated ride. He just cruised, went to the right part of the track, sprinted. That was his first try at a mile and a half, and he's come through with flying colours there. So who knows? He's put two wins together now, and he's back in business, Ecuador.
Brisbane Cup.
Raw Impulse is surely better than that. Maybe he got too wide on that track.
Maybe.
And hit a bit of quicksand. He was a certainty on the turn. I thought he rode him quite nicely, and he presented him at the right time.
Well, he pushed Havana Cooler out of the way. He basically pushed him out of the way, and Havana Cooler came back and beat him home.
Look, the Sydney form's not that much better than that Melbourne form he's been running in and destroying. So, jury's out on him, but I'd be happy to give him another chance.
Well, let's hear from Gay, and also Adam Hieronymus. The Hippo cheer squad was apparently out in force again yesterday.
Nearly frightened the horse over the running
room. Oh, they're getting out of order.
Out of order?
Out of order.
The grumpy old man.
Scary horses.
They are scaring the horse.
How can they scare
him? Here's Gay.
You could see the horse's intelligent, alert face coming around. Well, Brisbane Cup, here we come. I can't wait with Ecuador. I've been very patient with this horse, and it's paid dividends. He's got a lot of potential. He's just been a little bit slow maturing.
Yeah, obviously he's racing very good. I didn't think I was going to have a problem winning from... As soon as we entered into the back straight, he was just dead set jogging down the back and had an easy time, and it was just a matter of waiting to the 600 and letting him roll into it and scoot away.
And when you turn for home, you know you're aboard a horse that's rock hard fit. Catch me if you can, and they couldn't get near you.
Yeah, look, full credit goes to the horse. It's a good win. Carried top weight on a rain-affected track, and he's dictated from the front and kicked away.
There is Ecuador winning.
Kybe Devi comes back for a third Melbourne Cup and all those crowd are cheering. Does that scare her?
They're not all the same. It scared him.
Oh,
right? It doesn't scare them all.
I like it, Everett. I like a bit of cheering.
Well, you're bagging them saying they're out of control. And
no, he was joking. He was tongue in cheek. They're intimidating, though, that Hippo cheer squad. Here's race eight. Shalmaneser gets the money for Jason Attard. Sabcat got a kick. He got away from them.
Yeah, he did. And he looked the winner, too. He looked like he just strolled up Sad Cat, but Shalmaneser was racing back in the field, just one off the fence, and crawled into the race at the right time. You see him, he's in that black and white colours, just coming through one off the fence there, right place to be. Sad Cat, well, he ranged up here and then he started to get the wanders. I don't know if he floated out in front there, but
he had the wanders. He had to think about it.
He's renowned for it. And Sad Cat starts to reel him in here, and
Thinking.
I want no part of this.
Sabcat's probably on his distance limit too, but he didn't have to do much wrong to get beaten, and he did. Down the outside, is that Olympic Academy?
Also thinking.
But a month between runs and getting onto a soft track, he probably enjoyed it, so there'll be a winter race in him somewhere.
He probably should have won the second horse. He got a prat early in the race. Yeah. He got a balk in the straight there, but look at him. This is his thing. When he's going to cruise up to me, he wants to run in and do things wrong, Olympic Academy, but look, he'll win a race or two over winter, but...
That was Jason Attard's first Saturday win, and he'd have won it in the protest room if he hadn't won it.
I tell you what, he does a good job with limited stock.
Do you know,
there's no Fastnet Rocks in his stable, or Snitzels, or I'm Invincible.
No, he does a very good job. They look well, places them well, and before the race, you know what he's like. He doesn't want to talk before the race, and Richard wanted to interview him, and he said, no, you've got to do the interview. He's done the interview. He's won his first Saturday race, and he said to him,
he'll be lining up from now on.
I said, see, it's all a load of crap, because if that worked, Gay would never have won a race.
Yeah.
You know, the Snowdens, any of the big trainers you ever want to name, they would never have won a race, and he's good on television.
Yeah,
he is, and here he is on television again.
Great. Believe it or not, first Saturday winner. Really exciting. Looked a bit in trouble mid-race there. I thought he was over-racing a little and wasn't really taking the contact, but Sam done a good job and got him to settle and just was patient, waited for a gap, and obviously found the line really well.
Yeah, he didn't seem to mind too much when Sabcat rolled out as he did very late, but he was hitting the line so strongly, your boy.
Yeah, it was a little bit scary when the old mate was rolling out and pushing us out, and I thought, oh, well, might be better going out there anyway.
How did you come by the horse and the group of owners?
Oh, yeah, really good. good guys. They have quite a few horses, and yeah, they just they actually wanted to go to the provincial championships to start with, and that didn't really go to plan. So we just, you know, started off midweeks, and I said he'd be a Saturday horse once he got the 2,000, but he's got there a bit earlier.
It was actually nearly a blessing in disguise on the horse at Godolphin's. Ducked out under me because the horse was labouring on the one lead, and when the horse got off and stuck out under me, it made him change leads onto a fresh leg, and he surged again. So that was a good win, and I was getting shuffled back sort of the 1,000, but the speed was genuine enough, and it allowed him to travel, get in a comfort zone, and have a good turn of foot. So it was a good win.
Well, that is something you never hear. It was a blessing disguise that horse ducked out and got me.
Yeah, well, made him change onto the other leg. Now, I've heard Joe Marrera say that a lot. You've got to get stayers to change legs because they get weary leading on the one leg. And there's Sam just saying, when he changed leg, picked
yeah,
up.
Another, yeah,
yeah.
Let's go to the last. Bull Rush went into this unbeaten. 4 out of 4.
Mm.
And the bookies took him on.
Yep.
Well, there's no form around him. He's been beautifully placed by Team Hawks. I love this horse. I reckon his name's Bull Rush, but he's got that bulldog attitude. He loves a fight, and he's yet to let anyone down. He's a beauty. He rolled along in front here. They come to challenge him, a few horses. He was left stranded early, and he lifts. He's a group horse in the making. There was a bit of a shuffle up here late, and there was a protest fourth against second and third that was upheld. So yeah. Ray Murray here in his last race had his say and rubbed someone out at the same time. So
maybe interestingly, Timmy Martin was the last one in the room with him. So he's seen a lot of Tim over the years.
They put a stack on Roguish, didn't they?
Yeah,
$9 they bet in the morning.
They put that up on Wednesday. That was knocked off pretty quickly.
The first mark at the
and
moment, yes.
Look, I think most people were thinking there. This is one of these high weight races with the 63-60s, and he got him with 51, a 3-year-old. But he just wasn't tough enough to beat this very promising horse.
Watch him here in the red cap. He ran away from the stick. As soon as he got a couple of cuts with the stick, he started to run away from it. Crowded those outside two horses. Protest was, I think, third and fourth against second. They were both upheld. So Roguish got relegated back out of the placings. But he's a horse on the rise. He just needs a bit of experience, that horse. Bull Rush, when you look at him in the mounting yard, geez, an impressive looking horse. Mm-hmm. Big gelding. You think, why would a stud be racing a gelding? I'll bet they own the dam.
Yeah.
And they're just building the dam's value. He's an impressive horse.
Yeah.
It was lovely that Ray could go out on such a note. His final Saturday day.
Greatest.
Yeah.
He deserves all the accolades he gets. He's been a marvellous man for our industry.
He has, and he's going to be joining us, I think, next Sunday on the show.
Good. Yeah.
We're going to extend the show by a little while so that we can have a good old chat to Ray Murray. Hey?
What about lunch?
Take him out to lunch?
No, it's interfering with my lunch. We finish in half an hour later.
Oh, you'll make lunch.
Oh, okay. Right.
10:30. We'll finish at 10:30.
10:30.
Greg, he'll fade away.
We'll finish at 10:30.
Okay.
You'll be out the door by 10:31.
And that's midday.
Easy.
Okay, sweet.
Entree served, 12:30.
Beautiful.
He must have a sponsor for this lunch. He wouldn't be that keen if you were paying.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with plenty more. We'll get back into a Doomben.
I just don't do friends.
And we do have to get on our bikes here because lunch is waiting. We've got about 23 minutes left. You pushed me.
Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality. Now on offer, a super sprinting colt by VRC Coolmore Stud Stakes winner, Star Witness. Out of new style, this colt has movie star looks and is the ideal Breeders' Plate Golden Slipper colt. This early runner will be trained by the First Lady of Racing, Gay Waterhouse. Join the Group 1 winning syndicators and race this Star Witness colt. For more information, visit derbyracing.com.au. Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience.
If you're stepping things up, it's time to step up to a new Holden. Because right now, you'll get more value with Holden's end of financial year deal. Step up to free auto across a great range of small cars. There's never been a better time to step up to the Cruise Z Series range from just 23k drive away. Step up and save this end of financial year at Holden.
Go, 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 go!
Tim, that was a
great win considering you missed the jump.
Thanks, Bertie. That's a great start to the day. We knew we wouldn't make it to the track for the first race.
Somebody's got to book a cab, didn't they? And your mobile looked comfortable in the conditions.
Oh, couldn't fault her. She's only a year old, but screaming on the app was flawless. Never missed a moment, not even in the tunnel.
Well, traffic's moving. Good luck.
Thanks, Bertie.
More live racing vision than any other betting app. Cab, more than just winning.
Here we go. Let's go back to Doom. We start at the top of the program, race number one. This horse was heavily backed, Upstart Pride. It found the lead, broke 1.9, and ran them all off their legs.
Incredible. And considering what the time they ran in the next race, it was just amazing what he did. He just ran and kept running.
And he got quicker.
The last split was the fastest of the day. He got down the low 34s.
Well, he went out in 34.48 and home in 34.17.
He's negatively split. Where did he come from?
He hadn't had a lot of luck of late, but I don't think that was expected, although the market suggested that it would. He was just sensational. I thought Fine Mist would really do something in this race, but she was very, very disappointed. Very disappointing. And she had a little setback, and maybe the 1200 was a little bit much for her, but take nothing away from the winner there. And the highlight,
a class 5 or 6 horse, you know, and battling away, and lifts for this,
able to find the front too.
I want to just say hello to a little Mia, Michael Nolan's daughter. She's a big fan of the show.
No, of you.
Yeah, well, I've got a fan out there. She's a beautiful
photo
girl.
Taken.
No, she's a lovely girl.
Every time I go away with him, people just stop and want photos taken with Duff.
Yeah.
Except everyone who thinks he's grumpy.
Or I bag their horse.
Or you bag their horse. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
There's a few out there scouting for you.
I know. You've got to be careful of those syndicates. You don't bag their horse. There's too many of them.
All right, let's go to the second.
That ship has sailed.
Let's go to the second and another leader. And this horse was back too, Duff, thinking, oh, well, the pattern's going to suit this horse for sure. Karmicide.
Yeah, look, but he relaxed beautifully in front and he had blinkers on for the first time. Look, he's an interesting horse. He's 3 for 3 for Tony Gullen now. This horse did run second to Mogador at his first start in Sydney, so he had form around the favourite. Mogador, the blinkers made him miss the start, I would suggest. He got up on the inside here and probably had excuses, but his name is Mogador. He's becoming a bit of a money muncher, so he's a bit of a problem. I thought Baroud would do a little bit more, but
I thought it was okay on the day.
He's a big, gross horse.
Yeah,
he may want gelding that horse, but I still want to back him in the right race.
Did he have any cover? I thought he raced 3 deep without cover most
of
the way.
Yeah, he didn't. The track was against him, but yeah. I expected him to really improve out of sight. I'm still thinking he will improve again. So don't give up on Baroud. Be disappointed if you backed him, like me, but I still want to follow him.
All right, let's go to the third. This is the Glen Logan Park. This might end up the real highlight of the day. We don't know whether she's a Stradbroke horse yet. They'll make no decision on that until later on, but there's a lot of people thinking she should be running in a Stradbroke.
Well, I'm one of those, but I've got self-interest, so I've already backed it. But I'd say this performance here, look, it didn't look a strong race on paper, but they're running time, and she's in the death, and she quickens. A fit horse peels off a back, Cradle Me, who's a group mare in her own right, and she just finds another gear. And to think that she's only run 0.2 of a second slower than the Doomben 10,000 is just mind-boggling.
Just a tick under 1.18 there, and ran home in 34.33, which is a fast final split here. Look, if she's not the best-looking three-year-old filly racing at the moment, I don't know what is. She's a magnificent filly. Gets up on the pace here. I can't add any more than what she said, Duff. She was just better than them and made them look that way.
Yeah, she's not just good looking. She's a quality. Yeah, you know, she's an ability as well.
Well, let's hear from the winning jock, James McDonald, who doesn't want the filly to run in the Stradbroke because he can't ride it. She'll only get 50 kilos in a Stradbroke.
It's a good race for three-year-old fillies, isn't it? Like John O'Shea's already won with a three-year-old filly.
Yeah, Private Steer. Takes a good one, though. La Montagna was flying at the time. Dane Ripper's won one.
You get the ride there, Sam.
She's a better filly than La Montagna. I'd say she'd be on her way. A private steer was pretty good, but she's on her way to being up to that level.
Sam Clipperton would get the ride?
Maybe. You've got to have Duller, you've got Clipperton, ride for the stable. They'll find someone, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure the phone will ring if they don't want to ride it.
Exactly right. Here's McDonald and Beedman.
Yeah, she's magic. Her whole career, we always thought she was very good, and take fears onwards and upwards.
Absolutely. Do you think she's a better... I mean, today you had to sit up outside to speed from the draw. A bit of a surprise, I guess, to see Blueberry Hill leading. Do you think she's a better chaser?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think her best career performance has been when she was luckless that day, and if I got out, I would have destroyed them, and the form out of that race has been awesome, so... Look, she's super, she's very good, but she needs to win that Group 1.
He'll let the dust settle, and he's got a couple of options there, but the way that she did it and run the time, like they were saying, the boys were saying here, the time that she did run hasn't been run in 18 years. So, and she was strong on the line, which is a positive.
And obviously, going forward, there's a bit of improvement to come in a couple of weeks' time too, looking at her today.
Exactly. If she's not fully wound up, having that in mind, you know, she hasn't run for a while. But, look, she conserves energy, and James has always had a huge opinion of her. But, you know, she's adorable.
This is shaping up as your classic Stradbroke, isn't it? It's what the Stradbroke should be.
Will he rake in the big bucks on the advertising market?
Generally, it's mammals. It's, you know,
it's got to be mammals. Right, they've got to be more blooded.
But remember, like, New South Wales did this drug ad, you know, and they had the sloth, and they thought it would...
We're just, you know, we'll get a look at this Eagle Farm track next Saturday.
That's the wild card, isn't it?
That's the only wild card in the weather.
There's a lot of horses who are looking to get to a big track, and they're hanging out to get to Eagle Farm, and... What the track will be like is a little unknown. Well, it's got to be unknown.
It's
haven't
a new,
raced on it before.
New track and weather. Yeah. That's the thing.
They're confident it's going to be good. Spot on, but it's going to take 12 months, 2 years to really improve. Mm. Before I forget, Jim Roberts and his track staff there at Doomben. If I don't know if they've got an award for Track Manager of the Year, but he should be it because he has had 2 years of Metropolitan Racing at the one track.
Yeah, and it's the only nomination. It's the only track to mean racing.
Yeah, and you know what?
Track Australia-wide.
Oh, Australia-wide. Yeah, okay.
Australia-wide.
He left that track very dry and hard yesterday, but he has to get it through what it's
they
going through.
Of water,
you can't have too much moisture in the surface.
Hot, dry weather up there.
Yeah.
All right, here's Real Love. Pacini in front, Real Love, the stablemate, peeling out now to come out after it.
Classic ride, put her in the perfect spot in the staying race. The stablemate, who surprised everyone by leading, considering his recent, don't know if there was a change of tactics there, but anyway, Pacini ran a much better race leading yesterday. Real Love looms to him, too much class, too much desire, I would say. She's just a tip-top mare. She's been through everything. She went to an Adelaide Cup at 2 mile and she's back freshened up. Mm. She shows the toughness here. They whack away behind her, the usual suspects, but she's a winner. Too good.
Benzini, the Kiwi, made a little bit of ground. Yeah. Wasn't too bad. Maybe a bigger track will suit him well as well, but it'll suit her just as well, and she'll run a great race.
All right, as you watch the final stages here of the Head On with Real Love, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the Size Produce, the Lord Mayor's Cup and the Grand Prix, a lead up to the Derby. That's still to come here on Thoroughbred Weekly.
At Triple Crown Syndications, we don't just dream the dream, we live it. By creating success on the track and experiences of a lifetime. Your opportunity to join Triple Crown with Peter and Paul Snowden in racing this exceptional colt by boom sire Smart Missile. He's a half-brother to stakes winner Amarada. To join the Triple Crown team in racehorse ownership, call now on 02-9499-5212 or visit triplecrown.com.au. Triple Crown. Live the dream.
Stepping things up, it's time to step up to a new Holden, because right now you'll get more value with Holden's end of financial year deal. Step up to 3 years free servicing across the Holden SUV range. There's never been a better time to step up to the special edition Tracks Active for just $24,000 drive away. Step up and save this end of financial year at Holden.
Men like us, like foreign lands, with pounding spikes, with our bare hands, our skills are always in demand. We like our faces hairy and our backsides bent. Men like us and the upper hand, the sails of pilgrim wind and pride explore the world. But at least we tried, men like us, like rum, but we're not.
Front it up here this morning.
No.
Tell them the story.
No, come on.
Tell them.
I work on a radio station in the morning before the races, and I had to tell, you know, wear my suit, and I never wear my tie. I just keep it in the car. I got there and thought, oh no, I've forgotten to bring a tie. So I've gone downstairs from the radio station, crossed to the boss shop, and bought this just piece of material. It cost me $120.
That'd kill you.
Got to the races, getting my stuff out. There's my tie.
Can't you take it back?
120.
That's killed me.
You wouldn't have slept last night. You would have been grumpy all day at the races.
Move on.
Try and get a refund.
He's...
No, I wore it.
Doesn't matter. Hasn't stopped you before.
He tried. Here's the size produce. The Snowden team have had a wonderful season, particularly with two-year-olds in the capitalist colours. Attention wins a Group 2.
Yeah, interesting race. He had Prime running outside the lead here, and the leader, Dream of Plenty, who looked a 1,200 metre horse, fights back here. So looked a leader on... dominated race. Suchet made a long sustained run, the favourite, and you could say there was merit in the performance.
Oh, I thought there was. I thought he had no peace at all. No peace at all, that horse. I reckon he'd run better on a big track.
The two best runs in this, and the markets reacted, I must say, is Sacred Elixir, the Kiwi, bursting through the middle there in the Tony Pike colours, as you'll see. And in the green and black, the Candida, the local filly, she's winding up like a mile will suit her.
Yeah.
As far as moving on to the JJ Atkins, I really think their two performances were pretty good.
I wouldn't sack Suchet on that. I'd leave him in there.
I can
as
understand
well.
That.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I know that he probably won't even go there, but Earth ran in that. Just forget he went round. He just went the wrong part and got hammered in the straight.
Could not agree more.
Jericho goes round on Saturday in the Phoenix. What was the horse that beat Jericho, the thing of O'Shea's? Archives?
Archives, yes.
Archives. It'll go around as well. He's not nominated and probably won't run in a JJ, but I think he's running in the Phoenix as well. That'll be a good race at Eagle Farm. Mm. Here's the sixth. Mighty Lucky wins the Lord Mayor's Cup. A horse in form. You think of him as an old... You keep on saying old Mighty Lucky. He's only six.
No, he's only six. That's right. But I'd say... He's racing in career best form. He's as tough as teak. He may even get over a little further than the mile now. He's just a good solid win. He runs right up to the Scone Cup form. As we were thinking it may, shaped up really, really well here. That's Pajaro. Right up the inside, he was giving away a bit of weight here, being a weight for age race. I thought he ran well. And
he went up 5 kilos on his win in Scone, so it was a good effort.
And the others dropped weight, so they made him much better. But he's got progression, Pajaro. I reckon he's got timing.
Right part of the track to be running on,
I'd like to see him inside. Ipswich Cup or a Grafton Cup, he'd be hard to beat in a race.
Now, let's tell the truth about Mighty Lucky and your, I was going to say, former love for this horse. Now, Freddie Cowell, the trainer... thinks you're in love with the horse. Chris O'Brien, the jockey, said to me last night, Duff loves this horse. Can you now tell the truth? I think the love is starting to wane.
Well, I had
because you haven't been on him.
I had a love affair with him a couple of preparations back when he won at Scone at big odds.
And you backed him.
And I've backed him a few times.
Yep.
This preparation, I think, I reckon this handicap has got this horse, this prep. And
your love is very selfish, isn't it? It's all about self-interest.
I had Pajaro going for the national debt. And Fred Humptown, good on you, Fred. Nearly killed me.
Amnovacio just wants a bigger track as well. It wasn't a bad run in that race.
Here's the Grand Prix. Final lead-up to the Derby, really. There might be a couple go around next week. We're 2 weeks out from the Derby. McIntosh. Unbeaten with Chris Waller.
Look, he keeps winning, and it's hard to bag horses that keep winning. But please, can we find some speed in this Derby and make it a bit of a staying test? I still feel this Derby's there for the taking. Although this is the horse they're going to get past because he keeps winning because he's got the racing pattern to keep getting the job done. But isn't this a good Derby trial, Eagle Way?
From the in the wrong part of the going and off the back of not much pace, got home strong. How would be thy name? Okay, he worked home on the fence there, but he was good.
Eagle Farm.
Yeah, big tracks will suit both those horses.
Bellucci was okay. There's a few runs there if you want to pull it apart, but I'm still not. I don't know what to think of this Derby. There's Kenin Costolino, you know, come back after having a bit of a blood disorder and having to be scratched yesterday. Can he go straight into a Derby? Could it be the filly?
Provocative. Yeah, well, it looks like she's heading towards the Derby, not the Oaks.
I could warm to her.
Rodrigo yesterday sort of franked in Costolino's form a little bit.
Cool chap, is he going?
Don't know. Find out.
Anyway, stay tuned with that Derby.
All right. Now, there was a hurdle race on yesterday.
Yes.
The Australian hurdle.
And look, the interesting part about this was, if you watch these horses, they come around the bend, they've got to go to the last fence, which is on the outside of the course proper. And you see the horse in the blue there, he'll start to head out there, and he's looking at the bloke inside him saying, you're going to come with me? And they've been talking to each other, going, nah, we're going to miss it. So they've gone inside it. They said the wing had been removed, which it had. You see the wing on the inside had been removed.
They all went in the inside.
That's right. The whole
because
field
they
did.
Took down the wing.
Yeah, because they took down the wing. But
that's human
what?
Error.
Well, yes, it is. But you know what? That wing wouldn't have made any difference to them jumping it. The stewards could have played hardball and said, no, you should have jumped the last wing or no wing. They took the jockey's excuse for it, which was probably common sense there, and said, okay, there was one less hurdle in that race.
So what do you think should happen?
Well, if you were going to be a purist, if you were going to be a hard purist, should have been declared a no race.
Oh, turn
but
it up.
No, because then nothing jumped the last race. And if one horse had jumped it...
What happens if they flatten the fence?
Hang on.
And walk over it.
What if one horse had jumped it? What would happen then? What if one horse at the back had gone out there?
Well, he would have been a dilly. Just follow the leader. No.
they'd have had to have declared him the winner.
That was the right result.
Mate, I'm not saying it wasn't, but if one horse had jumped it, they'd had to declare it the winner and disqualified all the others.
You haven't jerried yet, have you? You haven't jerried yet.
He's winding me up.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you know why?
Why?
He owns the horse.
Oh, no!
A great result. A result for common sense.
Yeah, well, of course it is.
I had no idea, do you?
He's a part owner. We stood there at Doom and the chair. There was 100 people watching as Duff rode him home.
I was wondering what they were saying with 100 metres to go.
Yeah. All right, we're going to come back and wrap up in a moment. We've got something more left.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators, and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999.
One Gillette Fusion ProGlide blade gives Dave here up to a month of comfortable shaves, which is about this many, which is a lot. One blade, up to 1 month of comfortable shaves. Gillette.
If you're stepping things up, it's time to step up to a new Holden. Because right now, you'll get more value with Holden's end of financial year deals. Step up to free auto plus 3 years free servicing across a great range of Holden trucks. There's never been a better time to step up to the special edition Colorado LSX for just 38K drive away. Step up and save this end of financial year at Holden.
Coming up on International Thoroughbred Roundup, we're in Japan for the Tokyo Yoshun with the Sasuke Show winner D Majesty looking to add to his classic haul. A Grade 1 doubleheader from Graver with a Will Abington at Daily News 2000 and a scintillating display in the Prix d'Espagne at Chanty.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
I can tell you one thing, that horse jumped the last.
Yeah, he did indeed. Look at that.
He went straight over it.
Left that shadow like it was a water jump.
One last thing. I received some footage yesterday at the races thinking that this was state of origin training. Mm. Thought that they sent a new trainer in there to show how the Queenslanders train and to get ready for a big game of state of origin. Tony Gollan bet Kelly Schweder he couldn't do 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
The bet was $50.
He won't be able to do 10.
That was the worst thing. That's the worst thing he could have said to me. For $50, you'll do anything.
He's struggling.
I'm telling you now.
Not push-ups. You've got to put something on his back.
No, he's got to touch the hand.
Now, 9 and 10 are a query, whether he actually got down or not.
He should have made it 500 for 20.
Oh, there's 20. The 10th. I can tell you now, there wouldn't have been an 11th.
No, I reckon he was done.
Now, if that is Queensland state of origin inspiration,
commitment,
they'll get lapped on Wednesday night.
No.